Welcome to the Green with Envy podcast. I am your host, Lerato Moja. You know that saying, you can't fill from an empty cup? Well, at the rate we are consuming our natural resources, Mother Nature's cup is on her last drops. This podcast aims to remind us of the simple things we can do to get her back on her feet. Join me as I chat to my friends, old and new, on the simple things we can do to protect and preserve our environment. Lelo B, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How's it going? How's it going, Green Travel?
So great. Welcome to the Green with Envy podcast.
Yay.
Yes, I've always featured on your podcast, so I thought, you know, let me also call my friend and, you know, introduce you to my side of the world, you know.
thank you so much for the invite, and congrats on doing the podcast. I think it's such an important it touches on an important topic and conversations that we tend to overlook, but are so essential given that we only have one planet and we have to look after it in our own ways. So well done, sisters.
Thank you. And I must say, you've been my inspiration, you know, because you are that girl that gets things done. And you know, I've been telling you about this idea for a long time.
So long.
And you've been now, just do it.
Yeah. And the thing about it, like, I mean, with everything in life, because you tend to plan and plan and over plan and wait for the plan to be perfect. But it takes forever. You know what? Just get started and you just improve as you go along. You learn, you know, as you do whatever it is, you get to learn and see, okay, this works, this doesn't work. So I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy that you actually finally did it, because it's really something that I know is super, super close to your heart. And yeah, man, well done, Larato.
Thank you so much.
This is very weird for me. Like, I don't like being interviewed. I like being the one who asks people questions. But,
no, this is not even an interview. Remember, we're just having a conversation, you know. That's it.
Think about it that way. Yes. Cool stuff.
All right, cool. So I invited you today because, I mean, we have traveled together. I think I've lost count how many places we've been together. And, you know, we always have a good time. And, you know, I know the kind of travel you are. And you probably know the kind of traveler I am, you know. So I know that when Lelo says, there's this trip, she doesn't even have to finish the sentence. I'm like, I'm there.
You like things, in other words. And I just know, when I say, let's go somewhere, you are just that one person that I know. You are definitely in. I don't know, like, where you get all this money. You always have, like, money to travel.
Hi, I save. How? No, we save. So anyway, so I invited you to actually just do a quick quiz with you to check if you are a green traveler. I've noticed, obviously, that if you are in a space, for me, especially like environmental space, there are things that I will obviously notice, you know, and obviously because I'm exposed to the different parts of my career. And when it comes to environment, sometimes you think that, you know, people should know that, like, but that's common sense, you know, but common sense is not common to all of us, as we know. So that's why I also started this platform, just so, you know, to educate people, to just open their eyes wider, to just notice some things, you know, and hopefully with me chatting to you today, we'll be able to just shine a light on around green traveling, you know. So this is just going to be a quiz to check if Lelo B, the travel extraordinaire, is a green traveler or not.
Maybe I'll even... nervous?
You don't have to be. Maybe
what's
I'll.
What's the opposite of green traveler?
Well, there's no opposite. There's no negative side to it, but I'm just hoping that by the end of this podcast, you know, people will just be more aware, and, you know, the different things they do or how they can travel differently. But you'll see that, you know, there are some things that you probably already do that you didn't know that, you know, you're doing a positive contribution to the environment. So don't be, no need to be nervous. Don't worry.
Okay, no worries. Let's do it. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right, cool. So I'll just do a quick introduction from my side. The fact that I met you online way before the apps came on. I think it was 2006, seven. It could be earlier. I'm not sure. I met Lelo online. She was a blogger for a website called TVSA. And since I'm obsessed with TV, I mean, that's where we linked up, you know, and we would be in the comments section. And I remember one day I sent you an email and I said that, you know, I actually see you doing bigger things. And I'm glad that I was right because I saw there was something special about you. I was like, this girl is gonna go far. And you've lived that. You know, like I said, if you think about something, you execute, you don't wait, you know. So yeah, and you've gone ahead and started your own website, Just Curious. And yeah, and it was a, what do we call it? Was it a gossip blog?
Well, I guess you can call it that, gossip and
Yeah,
entertainment.
gossip and entertainment, yeah, which then evolved and became its own little being, you know. And obviously, like you said to me the one time, when you know that it's time to let go of something, you just do that because you it has lived its time span. And currently now you are also a host of Chica Travel Pod. So for those people who don't know you yet, yeah, you can follow Lelo's podcast. It's called Chica Travel Podcast, and it's on all the platforms. And yeah, you're a mom, a sister, you're a 9-to-5er, you do a whole lot of things, friend. So
Everything
that's
except girlfriend or wife.
you know, I knew you were going to mention that part. But yeah, you know, one day, friend, things will come right. You know, it'll be good, it'll be good. All
And
right,
maybe
cool.
it's part
Yeah.
of me saving the planet from tears. So, yeah.
Yeah, they might just drown the planet. No, but yeah, it's coming, it's coming. So okay, cool. Let's start maybe just by a quick introduction on why you love travel so much.
I think it just makes me happy. I'm all about doing things that make me happy, and travel is that one thing that just makes me super happy. I get to be free. I love the person that I am when I'm on a trip. I'm curious, you know, I want to know more. I want to explore different things, like eat food I don't usually eat when I'm in my, home. So I just love just seeing new things and learning. I'm not really learning new languages because it's always difficult, but I guess you just learn a few phrases here and there when you travel. It's just I just feel like it opens up my world so much, and it kind of gets to remind me that there's so much more to see and do out there. The little that I see every day of my life is not my life is not limited to that. So it's just nice. I just love it. I just love the feeling it leaves me with.
Yeah, and as much as traveling is fun and you're out there, coming back home is always a bit depressing here because you're always just like, oh, I need to stay on holiday forever. But also in the same breath, especially if you travel overseas, it also makes you appreciate your country much more, you know, when you come back home.
That is true, especially when you go to, I mean, we see a lot of places you go to. You may go to spaces in let's say in the continent, and some even outside of the continent, where you're like, I'm glad we don't live like this at home. I'm glad we've got this at home, whereas that place doesn't have. So it kind of also gives you that appreciation. And there's just always, as much as it's yeah, I mean the traveling is fun, but there's just something about knowing, okay, whew, this is home, this is my base, this is where you can just relax and just escape from everything else. Just so that feeling of home is always welcome. Yes, it lasts for like a day or two, and then I want to start planning the next one so I can get out. But
It's like, okay, how's the
but
budget? Let's, when are we going out again, you know? So let's start with the quiz then, you know, and I think we'll take it in steps in how you plan your trips, right? So the first part obviously would be prepping for your trips when you're booking flights and accommodation, you know. So what do you normally look for? And I know that I'm asking this question just to check if you notice any eco-friendly steps as you go by. So when you book your flights and accommodation, what do you normally look for?
When I book my flights, obviously you want to find the shortest flight to your destination. Ideally a direct flight, but what tends to happen with direct flights is that it will
Yeah,
be
super
super
expensive.
expensive. I'm thinking, for example, if I want to go to Nairobi, because I was checking flights to Nairobi, if I want to go to Nairobi, it's like 12,000, 13,000 for a 4-hour flight. But if I go via Rwanda A, it's like 5,000 rands. So obviously I'm gonna take that one, because it's, yes, it's got a layover. It's gonna take me maybe 6 or 7 hours instead of the 4 hours, but I'm saving, like, you know, so much money. So I'd rather take that one that has a layover. So that's that. And I guess so that would be for the flights. You always look for the, well, I always look for the
Cheap
cheapest and
one.
cheapest, but not sometimes the cheapest is will take you forever to get there. So I just try to find the balance between you know, how long would it actually have taken me to just go there direct, and this is the one with the layover. I don't like long layovers,
Layover,
between 1 hour, 2 hours. That should be fine. So that I don't mind, but when it starts going to be my 3 4 hours, then I, yeah, I know,
then
it
you
becomes a
stress
bit
a
of an issue.
bit.
I start thinking, then I start thinking about is the 3 hours that I'm gonna sit there worth the saving that I'm making from not taking a direct flight, you know? So I think about that, making that decision.
I think it makes perfect sense, because I mean with flying, we know that well, not that we know. So flying, the planes release a lot of carbon emissions, you know, and obviously if you book a direct flight, it's less carbon emissions. But like you said, obviously you cannot use that as a main drive, because like you said, direct flights are expensive. You know, and if it means that you have to connect somewhere, you know, to meet your budget, then it's fine. So when it comes to flights, yeah, it's a bit tricky when it comes to trying to be like, you know, a green traveler when it comes to that. But yeah, so when it comes to accommodation, so I know you love your comforts. The place has to be beautiful, it has to be comfortable. So what do you look for when you plan for your accommodation?
So Lerato, before we go to the accommodation, there's this app that I use, for travel, like TripIt. So on TripIt, it shows me all my total flights that I've flown and all of that, and it shows like my carbon footprint, and then it says 187, what, I don't know, you probably would know, TCO2, carbon, I don't know whatever that thing is, but it says that 187 is the equivalent to powering 22.4 homes for a year.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Is that on TripIt, you said?
Yeah, it's on TripIt. So it says it calculates your carbon footprint for air travel in metric ton of carbon dioxide. So it's, yeah, anyway. So it's very interesting, but I don't know what it means. And I also feel like I don't know how to reduce that number. Like you're saying, flights are expensive. But anyway.
Yes, I think, yeah, like you said, if it's a direct flight, it will probably be shorter or a smaller number. But for longer layovers and all of that, it probably would be higher, because it means that you have to take twice the amount of time, or you know, longer time to fly. So I think, yeah, I would also need to bring someone maybe on the podcast to also just explain and break it down for everyone, you know, to understand that. And also, like you're saying, that is done by an app. I wish also airlines could also do that. You know, when you book your flights, they should just give you that extra information that, okay, for you to book this airline to fly to Cape Town. This is your carbon footprint, and it means this and that, you know, and then also just explain that. But yeah, I
Yeah.
think let's not go deeper into that carbon footprint space. So I think I'll do like a separate podcast, or I'll even write an article of what a carbon footprint is, and you know how we can then decrease our footprint.
Okay, cool stuff. So, in terms of accommodation, like you said, I do like my comfort. I also like places that are, depending on where I'm traveling to, I will look at a place that's central to, the main attraction, things that I want to do in that specific place. For example, in Rome, if I'm in Rome, in that place, can I walk to restaurants, where there are restaurants, or if I'm looking for things like your Roman Forum, your Colosseum, is it maybe in a place where it's easy for me to walk to those places? Or not, or if I can walk, then is it close enough to, if you use a taxi, or some people use taxis, some people use buses. But I just try and look for a place that's really, I start, when I start my search for accommodation, I start with four star, and I will look at, okay, I will also search for where the best places to stay in Rome, for an example, where the best locations to stay in Rome, then in those locations, then start looking for the accommodation there.
I do get that you obviously need to stay in a place that's central enough for you to walk to places. I mean, which is always the best option, you know, to just take a walk, and that's how you get to see the little nooks and crannies of places that you go to if you just walk, than if you get on a car and or on a train, you know. So that is actually what I also look at when you're close enough to all the convenience and all the great spots. And I just also have to mention that Lelo is obsessed with Rome, so she might just make
Hence
references to it a
the
lot. And you just came back from there not so long ago, so it's still
That's
fresh
why
in
it's top of mind.
your mind. Yes. But we know Rome is top of mind for you all
Good
the time.
time.
Okay, cool. So I think when it comes to accommodation, we'll delve deeper into it once you check in. All right. And then when you then go to the airport, I mean, going to OR Tambo to fly to Rome. Let's use Rome or your recent Italian trip as an example. How do you get to the airport? What is the most convenient way for you to get to the airport?
I Uber.
So you're
I
not even gonna
Uber.
take the whole train, like, you know,
First of
public
all,
transport, Nyana.
the only time I ever took the Gautrain was when they were launching it. They invited us on a trip to experience it. That was the first and the last time. I guess if I had to take the Gautrain, I have to go to the station, and then from the station get the thing, and then coming back, it also take, I don't know, it just feels like it's too much admin, and sometimes I'm late. I don't know, I must now go according to whatever their times are. Can I just park outside my gate and go?
All right, cool. So yeah, so I think just when it comes to green traveling and transport, it's greener if you obviously take public transport. And I guess getting to the airport, the quickest and easiest way would be to obviously drive. Like you say, you just catch you just pull up an hailing app, and you get your Uber. But you know, it will be more greener if you just catch the Gautrain. But I do understand the convenience and the time it takes, because sometimes a trip to the Gautrain would actually be slightly longer than if you just jump on an Uber, or you know, drive yourself there and park and pay 3 million when you come back, you know. So yeah, so that's yeah, that's just the one thing I just needed to
Get out there. Yeah, because for me, it's like getting to the airport is always, and I've been burned, like where you miss your flights and whatever. So I just, and yeah, there's just so much to, I feel like in planning a trip and getting from here to there, there's just so much. And if I
that
can make
goes
things
on.
easy for myself throughout the places, I just pick those
You
options.
take the easy
Sorry,
option.
environment.
Yeah, because I think with me, when it comes to using the Gautrain, it's actually much more convenient because I always fly from OR Tambo. Even if I fly locally, like it's weird enough where I stay, OR Tambo and Lanseria are literally the same distance. But people always say, oh, you must fly from Lanseria. But Lanseria doesn't offer me different options when it comes to transport, you know. So either I would have to drive there or maybe, like you're saying, Uber there. But I like the convenience of a Gautrain, and maybe because I also just don't, I'm not a fan of driving. So I've always been a fan of, yeah, the Gautrain, and just I know the times, like when to get there, da 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 da, you know. But like you say, time, if you have the luxury of time, then definitely you can do that and maybe just leave your house like 3 hours before your actual flying time. But okay, so let's move on. So when it comes to prepping, maybe I'll score you a like a 2 out of 3. But two out of five, not 2 out of 3, 2 out of 5. But we'll see. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so now you've arrived at your destination. You've landed at the airport. Same question again. How do you get to your accommodation?
Okay, so how do I get to the accommodation, right? Because I've been traveling for so long, I make sure there's a taxi waiting for me to take me to my hotel.
Okay. And would that be a taxi or like a shuttle from your hotel?
No, it would be like I usually arrange my own transport. Let me just
Okay.
think, where else have I been? So that's, yeah, that's what especially if I'm going internationally, that's what I do. If I go to Cape Town, when I get to the Cape Town airport, order an Uber to take me to wherever I'm going. Yeah, so it's always the taxi. I saw recently, because when I was in, sorry guys, when I was in Rome, it's gonna feature a lot in this conversation. When I was there now, I learned that there's a direct train from, excuse me, from the airport to Roma Termini, the fast train. So I use that a lot, but I didn't use it when I first arrived. I use it because I was going in between different cities and so on. So eventually I use that, and it's so quick, and it goes like, very often, every 30 minutes there's a train leaving. So that was something new that I learned. Because I actually in that trip I started learning how to use the train. So
How
that's
to
something that
navigate.
in my future travel that I will be using, because it's quick and it's cheaper,
And it's
way cheaper than
cheaper, yeah.
Uber. Cheaper, it's quicker, and there's no being stuck in traffic or trying to find your driver wherever. So as much as when I first landed, I didn't want to start learning at that point because I didn't know how everything works. I had a taxi waiting for me to take me to the hotel.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and you
but I
know,
mean, even if I go to the train station,
yeah,
sorry,
no, go ahead.
yeah, I was saying, even if you go to the train station, the train takes you to the train station, but then when I get there, then I will need to use an Uber from the train station to the hotel, but then the distance is much shorter than, what it would have been from the airport.
Yeah. And I just also want to add that obviously traveling to your first world countries like Europe, people they I mean the transport system is so efficient that it's not even a it's a no-brainer to get on the train from the airport. Like everybody just goes to the train station, catch their train, and the airports are always linked to like your like you mentioned your fast train services. Because that's what we did when we went to Rotterdam. So we flew to Amsterdam, and you get on a train fast, and you're in Rotterdam in less than 30 minutes. You know, like you say, that it's cheaper, it's convenient, everybody uses it. And the nice thing about it is that the train station we get off at, literally the hotel was right there. So I think that's another thing when you travel to other countries that have figured out this public transport system, you know, And obviously for them, I would rate them as greener countries because then there's less cars on the road and you just get on a train. It's cheaper, it's faster, and it's more convenient that people don't even think twice about jumping into a car instead of a train. So I think, yeah, we in SA, we still have a long way to go to get to that point.
Yeah, and I guess also sometimes the train option is nice and convenient and all of that, but if you're carrying like 100 bags, you like carrying it
That's
also
another
on
one.
your luggage. Yeah, so if you're carrying 3, 4 bags or whatever, then you don't want to be stressing with the train, rather just get a
Yes.
car to take you there. So I guess those would be some of the things that would make you not even want to consider doing the train.
Public
But for
transport,
me,
yeah.
I only had one bag, so it was fine. And the
Yeah.
space in those trains, your bag.
And also, the heavier your luggage, the more strain you put on the planes. So that's not green, also. So if you have one bag, that's great. But 4 bags, ciao. The green in me is like side eyeing people who just like overpack, you know? So yeah, that's just another another tip that I just needed to throw in there. All right, cool. So now you've left the airport and now you're getting to your accommodation, and you know, half the time we're very happy with what you booked, you know. Hopefully it looked as good as it did in the pictures. So as a guest at a hotel or the Airbnb or wherever the apartments you've booked, what kind of guest are you? Are you that person who leaves lights on? You know, when you charge your phone, you don't unplug the charger. Like what kind of guest are you?
Ah, so I must unplug it, the charger.
Yes, you must unplug. So yeah, so basically, let me just put it out there first, you know. So, you know, just to help the establishments that you're staying at, you know, obviously, hopefully, the place that you've checked in, they are also aware of these issues and how they affect the environment. Like, okay, the energy usage, you know, if they are conscious, then you must also just help them out, you know. If you leave the room, switch off the lights, if you charge your phone when you're done, just unplug it, you know, it's just those little things. But I appreciate the hotels that actually have those key cards. You know, when you go into a room and you have to put in that key card for the lights to come on. And when you leave, when you take them out, then that takes away the you having to think about, oh my God, I have to switch off the lights, da 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 da. So yeah, so what kind of guest are you?
Yeah, I think I don't. Well, in terms of the charging, I just leave it there unless I'm taking out the thing to carry with me. But honestly, I just leave it on there if I'm charging. Obviously, I don't do it the first minute I get into the hotel room to start
Yes.
charging my phone. But generally, if I'm staying there and that charger will stay wherever I charge, I don't unplug it. I never thought about, okay, I need to unplug it, because even at home, my charger just sits in one place and I just go
Hey,
in
you
and.
must unplug it because
Nah.
you're using a lot of energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm
So at
learning.
least, yeah,
And
there's one thing you know now.
yes, I mean lights, you always I always switch them off if I'm leaving. Because yeah, I think it's like if you're to leave the house, you would switch the lights off in any case. So don't you I don't it's not something that I'm standard gonna leave on. Yeah,
And
is
then
that the
yeah.
Sorry, I was asking if that is that the only thing you're asking about, the lights and the charging?
Yeah,
I can't think of.
it's just like the first thing that I think I know that everyone uses obviously energy, and then there's obviously the water side of it as well. Because you know the tourism sector when it comes to like your hotels and them, they consume a lot of water because first of all there's the you I think you've noticed now at the hotels they'll have that sign that says please reuse your towel or you know don't shower for too long because they also understand that especially in South Africa you know we're a water scarce country and like that sector alone uses a lot of water because now they have to wash your towels every day. So what kind of water consumer are you? Do you change your towels every day? Do you want them replaced every day? Do you take like 20-minute
No.
showers?
Well, I so my thing with the showers, ne, the one thing I hate is when they start, the water doesn't come out okay. Now you must stay longer in the shower. Can they just leave it so you can enjoy it for like 5, 10 minutes, whatever, and then go out? So don't limit me, because then now I'm like, yo, you know, I actually maybe think they do that so that you don't spend a lot of time in the
A
shower,
lot
so
of
that you
time,
get,
ne?
yeah,
Oh,
which
have you
I
noticed
don't like.
that? Have you noticed that? Like, what had happened? I haven't experienced that. What do you mean by that?
No. They do work, but the way in which the water comes out of the shower,
Ah, yes.
yes. So it's almost like it's limited in a way. It doesn't just come. It's like comes in drips and drabs, and it's like, is it because you're trying to not make me sit in the shower and enjoy it? You just want me to get annoyed and leave, or so it's yeah. I don't like it when that happens, because I kind of feel like it takes away from the experience. I mean, part of why it's such an important part of my experience that I enjoy the shower at the hotel. Yes, I'm not gonna sit there for like 20, 30 minutes, whatever, but for the time that I'm in the shower, let me enjoy it. The one other thing that I've been trying to do when I shower, you know how you open the water, and then when you like, you know, maybe put soap on your whatever thing, try and I remember I close the water and then
Yay, it's
open
point for
again.
you.
When I remember, but sometimes I'm not conscious of it, but other times I remember, and then I do it. And it's because there was someone who was like that I know, who used to be very diligent about the fact that if they are not wanting the water, they're doing whatever else, they close the water and only open it when they need to actually go under it. I noticed it and I was like, why do you do this? And he was just like, no, it's just something I do, because I don't need to use the water. So why do I leave it running? Or when you brush your teeth, I don't leave the tap running when when I'm busy brushing. Only when I need to clean the toothbrush or whatever, then, or wetten it, do I then open the tap.
You scored like 10 points there. Well done. Thankful
Thank
to
you.
that the other person, because I think it's also when you see someone do it that you actually notice, because I don't see like the point, you know. I know that people do it at home as well, where you open the shower and then you go and say make your bed, and then for a whole 5 minutes that shower and clean water is just running straight to the drain. And I'm just like, okay, if you don't need the water to run, then you don't
Yeah.
have to open the tap for that long. If it's actually has to be more than 30 seconds, then yeah, maybe just close the tap or just be close by and feel if the water is hot enough, and then you can go into the shower. Don't let it run.
Yeah, it makes me feel so guilty. Like sometimes you open and then, oh, let me go pee. While I'm sitting on the toilet and I see it running, like, ah, why I should have, you know, just
Yeah,
closed it.
closed it. All
But
right. Like I said, when it comes to accommodation, Lelo, I think I am going to give you a very high score. Yeah, when it comes to water usage, you know, you are very conscious, and that helps. And especially, you know, if we travel in SA, you know, Cape Town had that issue. I think that's when we actually learned about how precious water is, and when they were approaching day zero. And if you travel to a place where there's water restrictions, it also helps to be, you know, like do like the Romans do.
True.
Using Rome as a reference. So it don't go to a place where there's water restrictions, and then you just like disregard the rules if they say take a 2 minute shower, as difficult as it is, you know, but like try to stick to those rules. And yeah, and currently we just experience water restrictions also in Gauteng, and it gets very frustrating. And I think it's things like that that need to make people more aware that we must not take water for granted. Yo, I scream when someone does that, and I'm just like, close that tab. And many of my friends will always say, oh yeah, I always hear your voice when I leave the tab running, you know, and all of that. So yeah, we just need to treat water differently, especially in our country.
Yeah, 100%. We've seen, and you know how terrible it is to be in a house without water. Rather not have
Exactly.
electricity, but water, guys. So we have to do our part, I guess.
Yeah, we have to do our part. And I think also just if you also have family that stays in the rural areas, and we now stay in urban areas, you know that unfortunately they wouldn't have running water like we do, you know, because we are more lucky that you have a geyser, you have a shower, you have options on how to take a bath. And I think when we go back and visit our homes, or if you come from like more rural areas, then you realize that you know what, don't actually take the fact that you can open a tap and voila, water comes out, and you are even luckier if it comes out as hot water as well. So we just need to be more cognizant and yeah, take care of that water. All right, so moving on to you as a tourist, with the activities that you do, what are your most favorite activities to do when you go to any place, whether it was here or overseas?
Obviously, to go and eat as much of the
Yes.
food, local food. Just try out local food. You know what is the best thing to eat when you are there, and that those would be the things that I want to do to experience the local food, and to go around seeing main attractions and the sights, learning a bit more about the place. I think those would be the main things, and obviously the more picturesque the better,
Of course,
because
wouldn't do it
content
because
must be taken.
content.
Yes.
And I was just listening to your recent podcast, and you were talking about you went to the Amalfi Coast and how it was like peak season when it came to the holiday time. So you had a lot of people. So has COVID changed how you deal with crowds, or do you always just try and find more quieter places? How has that changed the way you look at visiting places?
To be quite honest, that was the thing during the whole COVID time. I can things have kind of quietened down now on the COVID front. So then, yes, I would travel specifically locally. I would be traveling to those, outside of, main attraction places. I'm thinking about the Western Cape. I got an opportunity to just kind of explore p places outside of
The Cape
the
Town
normal
city.
busy. Yes, just see all the outer the outer towns, the towns that are outside of Cape Town, and just explore those. But right now, I'm back to particularly with my maybe if I'm thinking about my two last trips, I'm just back to enjoying travel the way I used to enjoy it before there was COVID. So the fact that there are crowds, for me, it was not a deterrent, for me. I mean, what I noticed in Sorrento particularly, even in the trains, actually, in the trains they still ask that you wear a mask. Meaning, I mean, then the COVID thing is not something that they've completely forgotten about. I guess maybe if you think about the impact it had on Italy as a whole, you would understand why they're still sensitive to that. But in the ferries, which are packed, nah, everybody's just like going on doing their own thing. But buses and trains, you still need to wear a mask. But even in the planes, we don't even wear masks anymore. So I wouldn't say that COVID has changed the way I travel. It did back then, but now I'm like back to, hey, we
Back to
can travel like
normal
that.
again.
Back to normal. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm asking about the overcrowding because I remember when we visited Spain, and you have a photo there where so, I think someone spray painted on a wall like "Go away, tourist." I
Yeah.
think also I spoke to Teboho Pinpin about this issue as well, that when we go and crowd a place that was once quiet, people there end up getting irritated. Like, they are here again now. We're not going to be enjoying our space, So, what are your thoughts around that? And just being a tourist that goes to places, especially in peak season? Does it make you feel bad at all?
I wonder about it. I think in one of my stories, actually, on Rome, I was like, say, I wonder if the people here don't get annoyed with us always being here and so full. 'Cause Rome, particularly, it is always packed. Whether you come in
Always.
winter or summer, it is always packed. But what I found out is that locals actually don't go to the city center unless they work there or they need to go. Even their shopping, they do it outside in the other places that are outside of the main city center because it's tourists, it's packed. And they don't hate it. They know it's important for their tourism and the for the tourism industry. So they don't mind that people go and do that, but they just know to avoid it because it's gonna be so packed and then they don't get to enjoy it fully. And I mean, even when I was in Sorrento, I was talking to the lady at the hotel and she was saying, I was talking to her about going to Capri, and she was saying, no, she only goes there in the winter because there are no people there in the winter. It's just enjoyable, if you're not bumping and pushing against people and all of that. So I think it's also, I mean, if all you experience in a trip is the pushing and the shoving and a whole lot of people where you can't even breathe, like I experienced in Amalfi. I think for me, Amalfi was the most congested and I did not enjoy it at all. It's always worth looking, like just having an experience during the trip, especially if you're going peak season, just thinking about, okay, these are the popular places. What are the other places that I can travel to that are not as congested? I mean, people are always talking about, oh God, you must go to this place and that place, it's less touristy. And these are tourists telling you this and
Telling you.
that place is less touristy. But at the end of the day, we all want to see, we all want to see these beautiful places. I guess the only thing about it is that if you go to a place and you are you it's touristy, it's full, the only thing we can do, we can't stop going to those places. We want to
Exactly.
see them. The only thing is just be mindful of the rules that apply in that particular place. Be mindful that you don't go there and litter, because I think the whole thing with Barcelona was that the tourists come there, they leave the places dirty. That's why people were even selling their houses, in the center where there's tourist attractions, because they don't want to live there because we are noisy. Just be respectful in terms of, noise, throwing things and just leaving the places dirty. Come visit a place, but when you leave, can I not see that, oh, they were here,
Someone was here, exactly.
Just leave it the way you found it. Hopefully you found it clean. So I would say that. But in terms of, yeah, I mean, if I want to go to, what's this place in Brazil with the statue, if I want to go there or go see the favelas and whatever, I can't stop because every tourist is going
It's
there. But
there, exactly. Because you are
maybe
there
the
for the
tourist.
only time, so you need to get, that experience as well.
Exactly. It's just about when I'm there, how do I become respectful enough to the people who live there so that I don't, become that tourist who makes them hate that they have
That
tourists.
they have tourists around. Yeah, and I also like you mentioning that when it comes to littering, I think that's also another thing that when you go to a country, like you say, or a different place, just respect it. Don't litter, and yeah, just be more respectful. Like I always say, just leave the place as you found it, or maybe better, so maybe just let me ask you, have you noticed anything different when you travel, maybe say overseas, and compared to SA when it comes to recycling or how they just deal with their waste or with their litter? Have you noticed anything different or that just caught your attention?
I haven't noticed anything, but I just remembered when I was in Paris now, because I saw there was a mattress that was near the street, and I was just like, why about Basile Matrassi strutting so ghetto and all of that?
What's going on?
Yeah, and then someone said, no, actually, they leave it there so that the municipality can take it and either go throw it wherever, or I don't know. There was just something about because you don't have, you want to get rid of this thing and you don't have anyone to give it to. You leave it at a specific spot and they come and take it, and then they either discard it or give it to people who need it or whatever. But in terms of recycling and how they handle waste and all of that, I can't say I have been paying much attention to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Thank
because I
you.
think if there's one thing I've noticed is that your European countries or like in the States as well, recycling is almost second nature. You know, everywhere you go, there's like different bins, there's like glass, paper, whatever, everything is separated. Especially if you just walk around the airports, you will already see that they actually are more about the recycling. I don't see it a lot in SA, which I think it's a bit sad, because I don't think as South Africans we are there yet where we think about separating our waste, even when you are traveling or you're going places. I mean, even in the hotels, you don't see it as much unless the place is an eco lodge, for example, because those places then, when they are about that life, you know, they will tell you that, okay, we recycle our waters, we don't waste food, you know, we separate our waste and all of that. So it's things that I always look for. And I know that maybe like a person like you who's not in the space would not actually just like notice those type of things, you know. So
Yes.
that's, I just wanted to check if I'm the only one who sees these things and you know, if everyone else does. Because I also used to be that girl that I will write a review to the hotel and be like, your toilet was flushing for all of 30 seconds. Do you know how much water you're wasting? I once did that to a hotel in the Eastern Cape. I remember I flushed the toilet and the water just kept on running. And I was like, hey, well, can you stop? Can you stop? And the next time I actually checked, and it was flushing for like all of 10 seconds, you know? And yeah, I'm the type of girl that when they send me that link at the end of the stay on rating them, then I will put those things down. I'm like, first of all, you're wasting water. Do you know how much water is going down the drain from just that one flush? Relook into that. And the next time I went to the same hotel, they had changed the flushing system. So I was like, oh my God, they heard me.
Amazing.
So yeah, it's those little things that I always noticed. You know, it's like you go to a conference at a different hotel, they have bottled water. And the next time you go there, now they've got water in those reusable glass water bottles. And I'm just like, oh, okay, this is a nice change, you know? So yeah, I look out for things like that.
Like that. But just speaking of water bottles, I mean, sometimes when I read about people and their travel, they will talk about how they carry water bottles to fill up instead of, you know. But is that something you do? Because I don't do that.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm not gonna lie and say I have a water bottle that is I pack when I go with when I go traveling, but I just make sure that you know if there is a recycling bin, that plastic bottle will go to a recycled a plastics only, you know. So that's my bit, but yeah, maybe next time I'll try be that person. But also, it's the fear around drinking water in different places, you know. You always have to know that is the water safe to drink? And most places people will be like, no, actually stay away from the tap water, you know. Unlike SA, where we know that our tap water is okay, you can drink it. But some places they rather just advise you not to drink water from the tap. So I think my bit then would be making sure that if it's a plastic bottle, it ends up in a plastics only recycling bin.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just one thing that I'm just like, carrying a water bottle, I don't know, but maybe something to
Admin.
look at.
Yeah. And also, I just wanted to also just remind you that you know, we have also the national parks in SA, and there's a reason why they are preserved and, you know, kept the same way, and the environment in there is protected. And when I was doing prep for this conversation, I was like checking at how many national parks there are in SA. And we've actually been, well, me and you together, we've been to a lot of these. We've been to about, so we did the Garden Route National Park, and we did that Tsitsikamma, you know,
Yes.
the boat, the what do you call one of those, you liked it. I'm scared of water. What is it called?
What was
Controls.
it? What was it? It was not river rafting, though. What was it? I
Yeah,
forgot.
I forgot. Yeah,
But
but that it was actually
nice.
fun. And if you think about it, I mean, all the national parks we visited, they were beautiful and serene, and like you see the reason why they have to be protected, because everyone can come in there and enjoy them. So there was that. We did the West Coast National Park, where there's also that
Yay.
those boats, those house boats where we went with Pimpin on our last trip. So I'm just mentioning them so that you can think about how beautiful that environment was. Recently, last week, we had Dinzwalo. Dinzwalo is also in a national park, at the Table Mountain.
It?
Yes,
I
it's in
didn't
the
know that.
Table Mountain National Park. We did Cape Point, so that was also, it's also in a protected area. And then
Limpopo.
also, yes, Mapungubwe. We did Mapungubwe. And then we also did Cape Agulhas, you know, where the Atlantic meets
Oh
the Indian
my
Ocean.
gosh.
And there was even that shipwreck that's still there. Like nothing is touched, nothing is moved, everything is protected. There's actually entities that make sure that these places stay the way they are. And I just wanted to just get your comment, just thinking about that and how wonderful it was to actually visit those places.
My goodness. And as you are listing all these places, I'm just remembering how beautiful they were and how peaceful, you know, you just feel being there. And we are so blessed. And I mean, you're talking about Dinzwalo. I didn't know it's in the Table Mountain. Wow, our national park. I had no idea, but I mean, look, remembering it, you know, just how beautiful everything was. I get it. And I also went to Addo Elephant National
Oh
Park. That's in
yes, I
PE.
also did Edo a while back though.
Stunning, stunning, stunning. I mean, yeah, no. Oh, wow. I actually need to do a thing about that national parks that I've been at, and you know what I loved about each of them. I think that would be so nice. But I enjoyed all of these ones. And come to think of it, those are also places that are so that are not that are inexpensive
They're not
to
expensive
get
at
to, and
all.
just admiring the nature and just seeing, you know, things in their natural state, and amazing.
I know, because I was like, when I was just thinking, and I was like, oh my gosh, actually, just when you think about being there and the peace and how you just reappreciate nature, and you're just like, wow, I need to come here to get away from the city, you know? So I think it's just a nice reminder when you just want to reconnect with nature, just visit these places, and you'll understand why everyone that works behind the scenes to make sure that they stay protected, you know, like your Kruger National Parks, you know, going as far as protecting the animals that are in there, you know, with the rhino poaching and all of that, because you just have to have a piece of that peace when it comes to just being with nature and being one with nature. So I just wanted just to remind you that, yeah, we've been to these protected areas, and
And so, I
they were
mean,
just beautiful.
yeah, and I can't think of one that I did not enjoy. They were all just amazing in their own way.
Yeah, because I was also thinking about the Cape Agulhas and that ship that's just sitting there. And like no one is thinking, oh, let's move this thing. It's still there so many years later, because you just want to preserve everything about that. So yeah, so that's
Guys. And we have a beautiful country.
No, we do. We do have a beautiful country. And yeah, and I know that, I mean, as much as you are a international traveler as well, you are passionate about South Africa and, you know, you like showing it off. And yeah, that's also great. Because they're saying you are much greener if you travel closer to where you are. So if you travel locally, that's even best.
Because then at least that 1 hour flight to Durban, no, the carbon emissions are not as much as the flights to Kenya, ne?
Exactly. But we're not saying don't visit Kenya. Just, yeah, there's other areas where you can offset that carbon footprint, you know, like you can do better. Like I said, don't fill up a bath for Instagram pictures and then toss that water out. Bath in that water.
Hey, content is killing the kids.
Just killing kids, you're right. So I think, I think just your feedback, like, is there anything that now that you are thinking differently about your next travel trip? Has this conversation helped you at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's just about how sometimes we just do things without even thinking, right? If I get to whatever place, I just wondering and asking yourself, what are some of the things that I can do to make sure that I don't, well, I'm kinder, I guess, to the environment in the space that I'm visiting. And those are things that you don't really think about. I mean, in my travels, I don't even think about the environment. Yes, I'm not a person who's going to come there and litter or whatever, but I mean, they're thinking around, well, should I use a train? Should I use a taxi? I'm just all about convenience. But if I'm not in a rush, why then do I not maybe look at using the train? So I guess those are things that for me are now, you know, going to stick in my mind at the back of this particular conversation, and things that I wasn't necessarily thinking of before. So I think in a way it really has opened my eyes. I don't think I was completely, you know, off the mark, but just not deliberate about being conscious of the environment and the part that I play in it. Because like I said, I'm someone who loves to travel, and you want to make sure that you're contributing to an environment that even the kids and our grandchildren will still enjoy, you know, the travel and all the spaces that we are seeing. So it's just getting me to think differently about, you know, my role in this whole thing.
And with that, I think my job is done, you know. So that's what I'm trying to do with Green with Envy as well, is that we interact with the environment every day, and we just need to, just like I said earlier, just open your eyes more to these little things that you can do either at home or while you travel or how you get to places, you know, just to think differently. Because we've seen with when COVID happened and everyone was working at home, how the environment just took a breather and everything just looked more beautiful. The skies were blue because there were no cars on the road and the factories were closed. I know in Venice, you know, their water actually cleared up and people could see the fish, and they didn't even know there were fishes below that water in Venice. So it just shows that us as human beings interacting with the environment, we take it for granted that it took a whole 2 years of COVID for Mother Nature to take a breather and be like, phew, can I just breathe for like 2 years? Yeah. You know, I think it took a whole pandemic just to help her recover a bit. So I think it's important for us not to then go back to how we used to do things. Yeah. And now, like, you know, like I said, little actions will make the biggest impact. So just educating people that, you know, you don't always have to be disregarding everything, and just, I'm just here to just share those few little things that you wouldn't have thought that they make a contribution, but they actually do a whole lot.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. It's been really awesome just learning. And I guess, I mean, I tried very hard not to feel guilty about what I do and what I don't do, but yeah, now I'm learning.
Yeah, I think it's important not to do guilt trip yourself, because sometimes you don't know what you don't know. So when you know better, then you'll do better. You know, like I said, even if it means that for you it's closing that tap while you brush your teeth, then it's one step. Like you've done your bit, and it can move on from there, and yeah, to more to other things as well. So don't feel guilty. It's just
Okay.
when we learn, then we do better.
100%, and I think I'm on that path.
Yes. And if I convert one person, that's enough for me, you know. And next thing you'll tell whoever you travel with next time, you know, and you
Don't do
educate,
this, don't do
and
that.
that's how it, yeah, it snowballs into something bigger. So, I mean, with that said, thank you so much for joining me and agreeing to be part of this podcast. And yeah, I just, yeah, also just to let you know that I'm grateful for your friendship and your inspiration along all these years. And I know a big part of this happening right now is because you also inspired me to just move on it and get it done. So with that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much.
Dango, dango. Thank you,
All
Lerato. This has been such an awesome conversation. Thank
And you
you.
see, you didn't need to be nervous because it was just a
Oh.
convo.
Yeah, and thank you for always saying yes to my travel.
Yeah,
Saying, let's go
please.
somewhere, and you're like,
Okay,
yes.
next one. We must now plan the next one. You know, we're going to the
Yeah,
next one.